Okay, so as you know, during these family services, we've been looking at reasons why belief in God is reasonable. And we've looked at reasons why we can trust the Bible. But this week, I want to look at a slightly different question. I want to look at the question, what about other religions? After all, people in the world have very different beliefs. Who's heard of all of these religions here? We've got Islam, Hinduism, Taoism, Christianity, Judaism, Sikhism, the Baha'i religion, Confucianism. They're just a few of the many different religions that there are in the world. I wonder if any of the young people are learning about these in school. Put your hands up if you've been learning about any of these in school. Which one of you have been learning about, Anna? Sikhism, okay. Anyone else? Yep. Judaism. Okay. Brilliant. Well, when people talk about the fact that there are so many different religions in the world, they sometimes make a couple of mistakes that I want to talk about this morning. Okay? We're just going to look at those briefly. The first one is this, which I've heard many times. People say things like this: if God is real, why are there so many different religions? And people say there's so many religions out there that I can't take any one of them seriously. They must all be wrong. So when they see that there's many religions out there, they say, well, they must all be wrong. Have you ever heard people say that sort of thing? Put your hands up if you have. Maybe not. Well, I have. They feel that they can't believe in God because of the fact that there are so many different religions. But what's wrong with that? Why is that a mistake? I want you to imagine that a teacher asks her class, what is 2 plus 2? Okay, now, you've got to imagine that this class is really bad at maths, okay? And this is what happens. Everyone in the class gives a different answer. Everyone says a different number, okay? So everyone gives a different answer. So here's my question to you. Does that mean that everyone in the class is wrong because everyone gave a different answer to that question? Does that mean logically that everyone must be wrong? What do you think, Anna? Yeah, what do you think over here? Do you agree? What do you think? Is it possible that everyone's wrong? It's possible, but does it mean they definitely are? Okay, you're right. It's still entirely possible, even if everyone gave a different answer, that one person said the right answer and got it right, isn't it? So if someone said 3, someone said 5, someone said 6, someone said 1, someone said 2, but if only one person said 4, that person would be right. It's true, isn't it? It's logical. So just because people give different answers, of course, it doesn't mean that they must all be wrong. And the same is true about God. Just because people have different beliefs about what God is like, that doesn't mean that they're all wrong. And as a Christian, I do believe that Christianity is true, even though there are many other religions out there. There's nothing actually logically wrong with that. Now, that might make some people angry if you say that today. And the reason why is because of a second mistake that you'll hear. Maybe you've heard this one a lot more. Another reaction to the fact that there's so many religions out there is this, that people say, well, they must all be right. So when they think about all the religions in the world, and they see that people have very sincerely held beliefs, they think, well, let's say they're all right. And often at school, when they teach you religious studies at school, they often present all the different world religions like this, especially in our age at the moment. each religion, they'll say, has slightly different origin stories about how the world came about, and they have slightly different rules and things like that and different books, but really they say they're all basically the same. And they say, I wonder if you've heard them say this. They say the different religions in the world are just different paths to God. They're like different paths up a mountain, but all the paths get to the top. So it doesn't matter which path you're on, they all go to the same place. Has anyone heard that before? Put your hands up. Yeah. I don't know if they say that at school, maybe. But that is something that lots of people say today. Now, the thing is, this sounds very nice. It does kind of encourage people to respect other people from different religions. It encourages tolerance towards people from other religions. And that's a good thing. We should respect other people who have very different beliefs to us. We shouldn't treat people badly just because they have different beliefs to us. But there is a big mistake with this viewpoint that all religions lead to God. Let's go back to our imaginary classroom, okay? We'll imagine again the teacher has asked the class, what is 2 plus 2? And let's say this time just two different answers are given. Some people say 4, some people say 5. Now all of the children have worked really hard. They've spent 5 minutes with their pencils trying to work it out. They've worked really hard and they've come up with their answer. And they sincerely believe that they're right. So would the teacher say, this is a question for you, would the teacher say, well done class, you're all right. You've all worked really hard, so we're going to say you're all right. Would the teacher say that? No, of course not. Because the answer just can't be 5 and 4 at the same time. That would be a contradiction. This is called the law of non-contradiction. You can Google it if you want to. The law of non-contradiction. Or imagine if in a football game, can you imagine, you play a really difficult game of football, and one team scores 4 goals, the other team scores 5 goals, and at the end of the game, the referee says, look, I'm going to call it a draw, because both teams played really well, you've tried really hard, and it's not winning that counts, it's taking part that counts, so we're going to call this a draw. Would you be happy with that referee? What do you think, Henry? Definitely not. Because in football, there are winners and losers. That's just the truth. And the same is true in life. There is truth and there's falsehood. And the same is true with what we believe about God. For example, some religions say there's only one God. Okay? Does anyone know the word for that? Have you learnt that in school? It's called monotheism. Anyway, some religions believe there's one God. Other religions believe there's lots of gods. Now, can both of those things be true? What do you think? It can't be. It's impossible. Or another example. Christians believe that Jesus is God and that we should worship him. Other religions, for example, Islam, says, no, Jesus is not God, and you definitely shouldn't worship him. Can both of those things be true at the same time, that Jesus is God and he isn't God? Of course not. It's a contradiction. So it just doesn't work, this idea that all religions are basically right. And the thing is, we have to be able to disagree in life if we want to find the truth. And we can disagree respectfully. There might be some things that other religions have in common. There might be some things that we think are positive influences and things like that. But there'll be other things that contradict each other that we can disagree on respectfully. And what about this? This is something Jesus said. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but through me. And here's a key question. How can we be forgiven by God? That is really an essential question when it comes to thinking about God. How can we be forgiven from sin? How can we have peace with God again? And it's because Jesus is the only one who died for our sins, that he's the only one who can bring us back to God. That's why Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but through me. So Jesus makes this claim that there aren't lots of paths back to God. He actually says, look, I'm the only path. Jesus wasn't saying that because he was being arrogant or anything like that. It's because it's true, he's the only one who's paid for sin by dying on the cross. And we're going to come back to think about some of these things a bit later. John chapter 3, verses 16 to 21.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God.
Thank you, Teresa. So we're continuing our series this morning called Jesus's I Am Sayings. And again, we're thinking about who Jesus is. Lots of people that you might ask have different ideas about who Jesus is. And the same was true in Jesus' time. People were trying to work out who he was, and they had different ideas about who he was. But instead of thinking about what other people's opinions are, we're looking in this series at who Jesus said he was. That's a sensible thing to do, isn't it? To start with what Jesus said about himself. And we're doing that by looking at these I am sayings that are found in John's Gospel. And we're just going to read them together now. Here they are up on the screen. And we'll just go through them and read all of them each family service. So here we go. We've got, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the vine. And before Abraham was born, I am. It's good to learn those and memorize those things that Jesus said about himself. So today we're looking at the second one of those, when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And this comes from John's Gospel. We read a passage that was talking about Jesus being the light. But this particular verse is from John chapter 8, verse 12. And Jesus says here, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So what did Jesus mean by this? And why does it matter to you and me today? That's what we're going to be thinking about. But before we can talk about light, we have to talk about darkness. When we lived in Albania, sometimes we used to get power cuts. They used to happen quite often. Sometimes they would happen in the evening when it was already dark outside. And it would happen completely without warning. And when it happened, the lights would go off inside the house, but also all the street lamps outside would go off, so it was a complete blackout, and you couldn't see anything. And so when it happened, you would get up and you would start trying to remember where you left a torch or where you left a candle and some matches. And you would start fumbling around to find a torch in the dark. You'd be treading on bits of Lego and things like that and bumping into things as you went to try and find a torch to turn a light on. And often it would happen that when we lit all the candles, then suddenly the power would come back on, which was annoying. And we thought, should we just leave the lights off and enjoy some candlelight? But yeah, but that's what happens when you're in darkness, when you're in total darkness. You can't see the way forward. You can't see a safe way to go where danger is and things like that. You can't avoid those things. You're just left groping around in the dark. And according to the Bible, without Jesus, that's what we would be doing. Stumbling our way through life in darkness. But Jesus came, he spoke truth, he revealed truth, and he tells us the way we can be saved, namely by believing in him and following him. So we talked earlier about the fact that there are lots of religions in the world. And the same thing, as is true now, was true in ancient times. And actually, this is a big part of the Bible story. Here's a map of Israel. Israel there's in red. And around them were all these different nations. There are even more than are on that map. And each of these nations worshipped their own gods. They had idols that they bowed down and worship in the form of statues and things like that. And they believed in and served these gods. But God used Israel, or this was his plan, he was using Israel to show the world who he really was. Now, to think about this, I want you to imagine an island. I want you to imagine that an island, a new island, is discovered in the middle of the ocean that we didn't know about before. And when it's discovered, they find that there are towns and cities on this island. It's actually a whole country. And the people that live on this island are very different. They live very differently to the rest of the world. When people go there to find out about them, they learn about it and they find that it's very different. What would you like to call this island? Who can make up a name for this new country? Anyone? Any ideas? What about Dylan Land? Or maybe Benopolis or something like that. Anyway, make up your own name for this island. So when people go to this island and learn about it, they discover that it's very different because there is zero crime on this island. There's never any murder. There's never any theft. Nobody ever lies. They always tell the truth. There's no injustice, no corruption. People are always kind to each other. It is a perfect country. Okay? Now, if such a place existed, do you think leaders from other countries would be interested in going there and finding out about that place and find out about how they do it? They would, wouldn't they? They would travel from all over the world to try and discover what is their secret. That country would be like an example to follow. Now, the reason I brought up that illustration is because that is what Israel was supposed to be in the Bible. That's what we learn. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was supposed to be different. God said that Israel was supposed to be a light for the nations. How were they supposed to be a light? Well, in the way they lived, for one thing. They were supposed to shine. God had given them his laws. And those laws, we know many of them. We know the Ten Commandments, for example. They said things like, do not murder, do not steal, do not lie, honor your father and mother, and things like that. And the Israelites were supposed to obey these laws, and if they did, they would be different from every other country. They would be a good example to the other nations. They would be a light to the world. And they were also supposed to be a light by telling others the truths that God revealed to them about him. The Ten Commandments also say things like this: you shall have no other gods before me. God revealed to Israel who he really was, so that these other nations would find out about this also, and they would turn to him and come to know the true God and stop worshipping false idols. And God spoke to the Israelites and told them lots of truths about who he was and how they could know him. So Israel was supposed to bring the truth about God to the world around them. But the really sad thing is, when you read the story of Israel in the Bible, is that they failed in many ways to do that. They failed to be a light to the nations. They failed to keep God's laws. Sometimes they even began worshipping false gods. And oftentimes they copied the bad examples, the bad things that other countries were doing around them. They failed to be the light to the world and bring God's truth. But this is why Jesus' words are really important. When Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," that really was true. Jesus was perfectly good. Jesus did obey God's laws perfectly. He gave a perfect example to follow. And because he himself was God, he also could show the world what God was like. By looking at Jesus, you can find out who God really is. What is the truth about God? So Jesus is the light of the world. Who can tell me what this is? Lenny, what's that up there? Oh, wrong one. That one. A lighthouse. Well done. Have you ever been to a lighthouse? Have you? Wow. I would love to visit a lighthouse. I've never been in a lighthouse. We used to watch a children's TV program called Portland Bill. That looked awesome. It made it look great fun being a lighthouse keeper. I'm not sure if it is. It's probably quite lonely. But what does a lighthouse do? Who can tell me? Why do we need lighthouses? Yep. Exactly, yeah. So ships can find their way back when it's dark. And when there's also fog at sea or storms, ships can see the light of the lighthouse and they can find a safe way forward. Sometimes they warn about rocks, so ships can avoid rocks so they don't get shipwrecked. And other times there are lighthouses near harbours, so a ship can see where the harbour is and find their way safely back into harbour. So Jesus is like that. He shows us the right path and saves us from destruction. Now, can you imagine if a captain of a ship ignored the lighthouses? Let's say he thought he was somewhere else on the map and he sees a light going around and he thinks, I don't think there's a lighthouse there. It must be, I don't know what that is. I'm just going to ignore it. I know where I am. Would a good captain do that? Would that be a sensible thing to do? Of course not. That would be very silly. But the same is true for each one of us when it comes to Jesus. We mustn't ignore the light that he shines. If we do that, we're playing a very risky game. We're heading towards destruction. The Bible warns us that the wages of sin is death. And we need to look at his light and follow his light. Now, who is... Oh, this is another verse that the Bible says. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Now, who is in the Scouts here, or used to be in the Scouts? Anyone still in the Scouts? Were you two in the Scouts? And John used to be. Did you ever go? What are you in, Rose? Beaver's awesome. Yeah. And I think Anna was in the guides. Were you ever in the guides or anything like that, Lily? No. Okay, never mind. Well, have you ever been, when you're in the Scouts or Beavers or Guides or anything like that, did you ever go on a night hike? Yeah? Was it fun? Did you enjoy it? Yeah, well, when John was in the Scouts, they had a night hike and they needed helpers, so I offered to go along and we had a great time. We went out for a really, really long walk, but the walk was a lot longer than I expected. Now, one of the essential things that we needed with us was what? What do you think was one of the essential things that we needed with us on this night hike? Yeah, water. What else? Some food. Yeah, what else? A torch. Yeah. And I brought a torch with me. But because the walk was so long, the batteries in my torch started to run out. And I was supposed to be one of the leaders. And I could see my torch fading more and more. And when that happened, I couldn't lead that walk. So what did I have to do? I had to stay very close to someone who did have a torch, who had got spare batteries or a torch that lasted a bit longer or a spare one. I had to stay close to them and follow them, follow their light. Otherwise, I'd be tripping over things or going off to the wrong path and getting lost. And I could be leading other children as well in those directions. So, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If we follow Jesus, if we stay close to him, the Bible says we won't walk in darkness. He came to show us that right path and the way to be saved. So in your lives, you have to make lots of decisions, don't you? We make decisions every day. Some are unimportant decisions, like what trainers are we going to wear, or what are we going to eat. But sometimes we have to make really important decisions to do with how we behave, how we treat others, and things like that. And some people around us, even our friends, might not be going the right way in life. They might not be giving us a good example. And we can often be tempted to follow them. It's called peer pressure, isn't it? It's just like being on a night hike and following someone who doesn't have a torch or doesn't have enough batteries for their torch. If you follow those people, you're not going to go the right way or do what's right. You're going to put yourself in danger. And the same is true with Jesus. We need to follow him. Even if we're tempted sometimes to follow other people, we need to make decisions based on Jesus, what he's like, what he would do, what he tells us to do. When we do that, that's like walking close to him and allowing his light to guide us. But why doesn't everyone follow the light? We read this verse earlier, and it talks about why not everyone comes to the light and follows the light. It says this, light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. So what Jesus is saying here is that when we come to him, he not only gives us light that shines our path and shows us the way, but he also shines a light on us. And he shines a light on our hearts. When he does that, that reveals what's inside. And it reveals the good things, and it reveals the bad things too. It reveals our sin. And Jesus was saying that many people don't come to him, they don't come to the light, because they don't want that to happen. They don't want the light to shine on them and reveal their sin. And that's really sad. And to illustrate that, I've got some bits of paper here. Okay. What can you see on this bit of paper? What words can you see?
So they're all possible things, and that's a bit like us, that we, on the outside, we like to show lots of positive things. We want people to think very positively about us, and think that we're lots of all these good things and other things. But in our hearts, there is sin, and we tend to hide that. And the thing is, when we come to Jesus, he reveals those hidden things. Now I've got here a torch. I wonder if many of you like to give me a hand with this. Let's come front quickly. This is a UV torch. And I want you to shine the torch on this part and see what happens. Okay, you can turn on the back up then. Ready? What can you see? You see some hidden words. Try and block away, won't you? So I'm trying on there. Yeah, brilliant. And that is what, you see that, what are some of those words that are appearing there? Angry, selfish, what's another one? Bitter, yeah. That's what happens when we come to Jesus and allow his light to shine on us. He exposes the things that are wrong in our hearts.
And so Jesus said, that's why a lot of people don't come to me. They don't want that to happen. But the sad thing about this, not only does Jesus expose the things we've done wrong and the wrong things in our hearts, but he also gets rid of them. He died on the cross to forgive us for those things, and he changes us from within. He gives us his Holy Spirit, who takes those things away and replaces them with good things. So if we don't come to him, we don't benefit from that. So it's really important that we do come to the light, come to Jesus, even if it means accepting the wrong, accepting the sin in our heart and saying sorry for those things. Because that way, God can change us and he can give us forgiveness. Now what I'm going to do is, I'm going to pray in a minute, and then we'll sing our last song. And then afterwards, I've got one of these for all of the young people here. I'm going to give you one of those, and you've got a task to do. I've only got two torches, so you're going to have to take turns. What I want you to do is use the torch to find the bad things in there, and on top of them, you're going to write something good. You're going to change them for positive characteristic. Okay, so you have to have a think about that, and there's some pens here, and then come to me and I'll check them to see how you've done, and when you've done it, you'll get some sweets. Okay, so I'll give you those afterwards that you can have a go at. Okay, right, let's close in prayer, and then we're going to sing the song My Lighthouse. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your light into the world, that you didn't leave us in darkness, just guessing what the truth is about you, what the truth is about the world, where we came from, and leaving us in our sin. Thank you that you came to show the way, to give us the truth about who you are. Thank you that you came to change the world, to cause the darkness to flee away and to change our hearts as well, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to come to your light, even though that means we have to accept the wrong things we've done, the wrong things in our hearts, but to come to your light in repentance, saying sorry for those things and asking for forgiveness. And we thank you that you do promise to change us from within. And we pray that you would do that more and more for each one of us. We thank you, Lord, that you gave your Son, who died on the cross, to give us that forgiveness and to change us and to bring us into your light. Help us to believe in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.